A nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. You know who I am. I am your gracious, unvaccinated host. My name is Tom Velasquez, coming at you every week behind the mic, giving you the news you need and the news you want to hear. And this week, the news you need and the news you want to hear is going to revolve strictly around politics. There is a plethora of news I can talk about, and I have to just basically condense everything that I want to say in roughly an hour show. But I'm going to do it because that's what I do every week round the clock. So sit back, relax, and open that mind because we are going to take you on a journey this week that may upset you. It should upset you because things are happening very quickly in this country. Things are turning for the worse very, very quickly, and we're going to discuss that. So we're going to start off, first of all, Joe Biden this week signed into law, making Juneteenth a federal holiday, which, to be honest with you, I have no problem with. For those of you who don't know, Juneteenth is essentially June 19th, the day that the slaves of this country were freed. And that is something to celebrate because no man should be a slave. I don't care what color, what race, what creed, what religion you are, you should never be a slave. So for those of you who mocked me without even knowing what I was going to say, that mocked me through my email saying, "Ha, how you feel about Juneteenth? That should really tick you off." No, it doesn't. It makes me feel good. Here's my issue with Juneteenth. To me, and this is just my opinion, this is the way I see things that are going to happen, just because it seems like this is what happens every time lately. Juneteenth is going to turn into a white bashing holiday. I don't have any problem at all recognizing the day the slaves were freed. I have no problem with that. But everything these days is based upon race. And if you are a white person, right straight off the bat, you are considered a racist. You could have someone who never knew you, never met you, doesn't know what you believe in, doesn't know your beliefs, doesn't know how you act towards other people. Because you are white, you are racist. So when this holiday comes to fruition, and at the recording of this show, it will be tomorrow. Tomorrow is Saturday, June 19th. Mark my words, you've heard it here first. If you watch or you listen to any news, you will hear about a brief description of Juneteenth. Hey, the slaves were freed on this day. But then you will have the CNNs, the MSNBCs, all the major news networks. You will have the media come out and it will be a white bashing is what it's going to be. It's going to be bashing on whites. They're going to be talking about reparations. This is the plan. Everybody, this is, and again, I can't stress this enough. I have no problem with this holiday at all. Good. I'm glad. It's actually a long time coming. But if you do it the right way, celebrate the freeing of the slaves. And that's it. Don't talk about reparations and don't turn it in to a white bashing day. If you don't think what I'm telling you is true, look at it this way. They already have February. And when I say they, that's kind of a derogatory way to say the black population. But the black population already has Black History Month, where we celebrate the black history. We don't have, as far as I know, a Mexican History Month. We don't have an Asian History Month. We don't have an Indian. We don't have a Greek. We don't have an English History Month. So we have Black History Month in February. And then we'll give them Juneteenth. That's fine. But think about it. Go back to June 6th of this year. Where did you hear about the anniversary of D-Day? Hell, Joe Biden, our president, who should be all over the news, all over social media, thanking the men who gave their lives in sacrifice for the freedom of this country. What was he talking about? He was talking about the Tulsa Massacre. It's a racial division thing. It's all trying to make the white people look even more racist than they're already made out to look. Listen, there are racists out there. I will not doubt that at all. But you know what? It goes both ways. Because there's black people that are racist against whites. There's Mexicans that are racist against whites. There are Asians that are racist against blacks, whites, and Hispanics. And there, of course, are white people that are racist against anyone that's not white. But out of everybody I talked about in that group, it is a vast, a minuscule minority. But yet, you listen to the news, you listen to the media, and every single white person is racist. And that is why things like the critical race theory are being propped up and taught in some public schools in our country. Critical race theory that teaches the kids that if you're black, you're a victim. If you're white, you're an oppressor. That America is a horrible place to be. That is what some of these school districts, and the number is growing every day, that is what they are teaching our children. How do you think children who have a black and white classroom, how do you think that's going to go over? How do you think those black children, as they're learning about the white people, as they're being taught that the white people are the oppressors and they're holding the black people down and they're the victims, how do you think that's going to go over? Honestly, if you can't see the concerted effort to divide us by race and by class, you've got the blinders on and you need to take them off. I'm going to tell you right now, the listeners of this show and myself, history will prove us right. Guaranteed. History will prove us right because we are on the right side. When did this country lose the ability or lose the desire for law and order? When did this country lose the common sense of right and wrong? We all know the answer to that. It's when the Democrats stopped thinking about the people that they represent and started thinking about how do we stay in power. And they've perfected it. You divide the country. And they're doing a phenomenal job. And it's with the help. And they couldn't do it without the media. Let that be known. Listen, the Democrats in power are a complete bunch of idiots. When you have Nancy Pelosi follow up a speech and end with amen and follow up with a woman, that's just the thinking behind that is so misguided and so wrong. And there are people out there that are actually applauding that. When you have people who think it's okay for a man who just happens to dress like a woman and identify as a woman, if you think that's okay for that man to compete against that woman or those women and have it be a fair competition, that's misguided thinking. When you have a country, half a country, that no longer thinks he and she, male and female, are the only two sexes. Now you've got Z, it, whatever. What I know of a person in another state whose 14-year-old daughter was asked at the beginning of the school year, what pronoun would you like to be addressed as? This is public school, everybody. These are not teachers in public school anymore. These are propagandists. These are indoctrinators. Because most teachers, they don't care. They're just going to read what's in their books. There are some of them, and there's one that my son has, well, he had this past year, that made it a point to be political in the classroom and tell the kids who to vote for. Now, granted, he told them to vote for Biden, but even if he told everybody to vote for Trump, there's no place for that in a public school. A public school is there for learning. It's there for learning only, not indoctrination. And right now, these schools are an indoctrinating factory. And we just keep pumping money. All these millages keep going through. Hell, in New York, they passed a millage, and in that millage, they said, yeah, with this millage passing, we're going to teach critical race theory. And people passed the millage, and then were furious when they found out that their children are being taught critical race theory. Read what you're voting on. That just goes for anything. Just don't go into the voting booth. Oh, my friend's voting for this. I've never heard of this guy, so I'm not going to vote for him. Oh, there, that person's been in. Debbie Stabenow, yeah, she's been in office forever. I'll vote for her. Do some research. Know what you're voting for. It starts at a local level. Trust me. You know, we think of the federal elections as being the only elections that matter. Actually, our local elections, in my opinion, matter more than the federal elections. The reason why is we vote for our school board at that time. If you have no idea who these people running are on the school board, who they are, what they stand for, just don't vote. If you know who they are and they hold your same values, then by all means, vote for them. If you know who they are and they don't hold your values, then don't vote for them. Just don't willy-nilly vote somebody in, because then you have these idiots on the board, which they are paid with our money. They are working for us, but yet we get no say in anything that has to do with the curriculum. And I have a very, very big problem with that. My kids, I want to have a say in what they're being taught. Thank God, so far in my school district, my kids' school district, the worst thing is they can't call blacktop blacktop. And it still infuriates me. But in the scheme of things, that's a battle I'll fight only if I have to. Because right now, my kids could be being taught critical race theory. That is something that is not going to happen in where I live, I guarantee you. There will be an uprising. And the schools know that. The school systems know that. But with that being said, I was also lied to, just straight up lied to by the principal, the high school principal of my son's school. Back when they dropped the mask mandate for children who had been vaccinated. In other words, if you had the vaccine, you didn't have to wear a mask at school. I said, that's bullshit. You're segregating my child. So my son, who thinks very, very much like me, and that's almost to a fault, he went in without a mask. And the teacher said, Andrew, where's your mask? I don't need one. Well, did you get a vaccine? Nope, but I've had COVID. They sent him to the office. And he called me on the way to the office. And he said, hey, I don't know what's going to happen, but I just got sent to the office for not wearing a mask. And I said, really? So I called the principal and I started giving him grief. I'm like, hey, this is BS. You cannot segregate my child from any other child who's vaccinated. If he's vaccinated, he has nothing to worry about. Well, the principal came back and said, hey, you know, everybody's got to wear a mask. Everybody's wearing a mask. We're not going to deal with this. And I said, well, if that's the case, I don't like it. There's only 2 weeks left of school. I'm not going to cause a stink. But if you're segregating my kids because they choose and we choose not to have them get the vaccine, then we have issues. He says, Mr. Velasquez, absolutely not. We are just making sure everybody wears a mask. It's just for 2 more weeks. We're going to get through this, and then it's done. So I called my son back, and I said, look, it's 2 weeks, everybody's wearing a mask, just do it. And he's like, Dad, not everybody's wearing a mask. I said, well, according to the principal, they are. Dad, I'm walking by people right now, and they don't have to wear a mask. And they said, are you kidding me? So I tried to call the principal back, wouldn't answer my phone calls. So that night, my son comes home, and being the detective that he is, he recorded kids talking, him talking to kids about the mask. And, hey, you're not wearing a mask. No, I was told I didn't have to. I got the vaccine. Yeah, I heard you got kicked out of class because you aren't vaccinated and you're not wearing a mask. So rather than tell me the truth, I was lied to shut up. And that's basically what he did. He said, I've got to shut this guy up. And it infuriates me. And I still don't know what is going to happen come August when these kids go back to school. I don't know if it's going to be a mandatory mask mandate. However, July 1st in Michigan, the COVID restrictions are gone. Well, that was what it was supposed to be. So our governor comes out and says, you know what? And since everybody in Michigan's done their part and they've gotten vaccinated, which is a complete and utter lie, not even 65% of Michigan has been vaccinated. She says, we're going to open up Michigan, and we're going to open it up early. So June 22nd, all the COVID restrictions are gone. And I really think she was expecting a huge round of applause. And basically the response was, why not do it now? What are 4 days going to make a difference? And nobody can answer that. Why? First off, and I said it before, why wait till July 1st? Now, why wait till June 22nd? It's June 18th as I speak. 4 days. What's the difference? Do we really think in 4 days there's going to be an influx of COVID cases? Or the quote-unquote Delta strain that's going around and everybody's worried about that because the media is talking about the more contagious, more deadly Delta strain. Come on. The fear porn has got to stop. So June 22nd, Michigan opens up. If some businesses want to keep a mask mandate for guests to come into the doors, they can do that. But we can go anywhere, vaccinated, unvaccinated. Now, with that being said, don't think that concerts. There's a lot of music concerts that are starting to come back. And you'll see Bruce Springsteen, the Foo Fighters. They've all put out there, hey, we're going to put on concerts for vaccinated people only. Or the punk rock band, I think it was in Pennsylvania or Florida, that it was $15 a ticket or $100 a ticket for unvaccinated people. But if you're vaccinated, it's only $15. Do not think that that is not going to be the norm. And that's, I mean, it's discrimination. It's flat, plain discrimination. You know, I had a lady come into work the other day, and she's wearing a mask. And she walked in, and she kept staring at me, not saying a word. I mean, she talk about awkward. I'm sitting, typing up stuff and making estimates, and she walks in. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And she just stares at me. She's wearing a double mask, I believe it was. And I said, oh, don't worry. You don't have to wear a mask in here. We don't, you know, we're done with COVID here. And she looked at me through her mask as she's, you know, you can't really hear well through these masks. Why aren't you wearing a mask? Are you vaccinated? Oh, no, I'm not vaccinated. I've got my natural immunity. I've got antibodies in my system because I've had COVID. You haven't been vaccinated and you're not wearing a mask? That's going against the mandate. I said, no, we don't follow the mandate here anymore. I mean, June 1st, everything's gone. July 1st, everything's gone. What's the point? We're done with it. Well, I don't feel safe being around you. Then why'd you get the vaccine? Honestly, why did you get the vaccine? And I go to all these social media pages, and I read the comments of these people, and the vaccinated are just, we unvaccinated, non-vaxxers, we are looked down upon as like lepers. I can't believe you have no care for any other person. You are risking myself and my family by not being vaccinated, and you want to walk around without a mask? Yeah, you're vaccinated, dummy. That's what the whole vaccine was supposed to be, right? If it's not helping you stay vaccinated, then what did you just inject yourself with? And nobody can seem to answer that. One person, because there was a lady just going off on people, and nobody was saying that. So I just piped in there. I made a comment. If you're vaccinated, why are you so afraid? And her response, in typical Democrat fashion, you don't understand the science behind it, and I don't have the time to explain it to you. I got nothing but time, lady. I want to hear your scientific reasoning why, if you took the vaccine, you are still susceptible to getting the coronavirus. Please enlighten me. I would love to hear it because nobody can give me a good answer. Just like nobody can answer if the people who have had COVID, and I know there's a lot of people who listen to the show who have the antibodies for COVID in their system. Nobody can answer why we have to be vaccinated. Everybody just says it's the science of it all. You don't understand the science. Enlighten us all, please. We would love to hear your knowledge of why the human antibodies, the human immune system, is not as good as an untested, unknown, quote-unquote, vaccination. Please, please enlighten us. All righty, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and I'm going to tell you that it's back again. And I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
The Stuff of Nightmares.
Hey, everybody. This is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crime. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Alrighty, everybody. So if you haven't heard, or probably a better word, if you haven't listened to Rick Ness's podcast, The Stuff of Nightmares, please, please do so. It's an amazing podcast. I love it. And if you like this show, I guarantee you, you will love The Stuff of Nightmares. A big thank to Rick Ness for all his help. And hey, I'm looking forward to that shirt, Rick. So back in, early pandemic shutdown days here in Michigan, our illustrious governor came out in basically, and this is during summer months. So I guess it was in the early months of the pandemic. She came out in the early months and basically told everyone, hey, if you see your neighbor breaking COVID rules, if you see your neighbor having a party with more than five people, you need to turn them in. And everybody was up in arms. But you know what? There were people that did it. In my neighborhood, I know of somebody that was turned in. They found out that their neighbor turned them in because during the 4th of July, they had people over. And it was maybe 10 people. And they were turned in. Now, the cops in our area are like, we're not going to enforce this. We're not going to talk to them. Just deal with it. They're not hurting you. Are they bothering you? Well, yes, they are breaking the governor's mandates. And thankfully, the police officers in my area here in Michigan, they would not enforce it. You know what? Live your life is basically what they said. Well, now the Biden administration, and it's getting to the point where do we even call it the Biden administration? Or do we just call it the Democrats? Because the Biden has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt he is beyond incapable of doing this job. He can't hold a train of thought. He's embarrassing us on the world stage at the G7. His meeting with Putin, oh my gosh, Putin's got to be licking his chops right now. And listen, I'm going to be in the minority on this one. I don't think Putin's as bad as our media is telling us he is. I think Putin is there for his people. He is the Trump of Russia. I firmly believe that. Does he do things that I don't agree with? Yes, but everybody does. Every politician does. But he has got to be licking his chops now. To go from Trump, where basically Trump's like, if you mess with us, the red button's being hit. You're gone. You don't want to mess with us. To Biden, who can't even complete one sentence without saying something, without losing a train of thought, saying something stupid. So when I say the Biden administration, I guess from this point on, even if I do say the Biden administration, just know it's the Democrat Party. But the Democrat Party, Biden administration, is asking Americans to report potentially radicalized friends and family. Now, how many of us in our families, think of your families, I can think right off the top of my head, close family members, I mean immediate family members, who would consider me radicalized. I think they are the ones that are radicalized, so, you know, but who's going to get turned in here, and who are they going to follow through on? They're not going to follow through on me thinking they're radicalized because they lean to the left. They're going to look at me as alt-right, white supremacist, even though I'm not white, I guess. But Joe Biden's administration announced their plans to create ways for Americans to report radicalized friends and family to the government, in their words, in an effort to fight domestic terrorism. I don't know of much domestic terrorism going on here. Now, you could come back at me and say, well, look at all the mass shootings. Yes, look at them all. Where were they in the 4 years of Trump? They weren't there. They were non-existent. In the 5 months that Joe Biden's taken office, it's just like a free-for-all on the streets now. This country is turning into one big Chicago at this point. People just are running rampant. And you can't tell me. I mean, take the blinders off. During Trump's 4 years, how many mass shootings, how many terrorist attacks did we have to endure here in the States? One, two, maybe? In 5 months, how many mass, quote-unquote, mass shootings that the media is going to overblow, but how many mass shootings do we have in 5 months with Biden or the Democrats in charge? I can't count them on both of my hands. There's too many. You don't think there's an agenda here? You don't think this is a ploy to make it look like, oh my gosh, these guns are so dangerous, we got to get rid of these guns? No. We got to stop defunding the police. We got to stop mocking the police and making the cops and the police job that much harder. They already have a hard job. They're severely understaffed. You know, the rapper Tom McDonald said it perfect. Call a cop and order takeout at the same time. See which one comes first. Guess which one's coming first. You're going to be eating before that cop gets there. They need help. And the Democrats aren't getting it to them because the Democrats are fighting the way AOC's, Ilhan Omar's, Rashida Tlaib's, those women, Nancy Pelosi, they're out there trying to defund the police. They are trying to get rid of prisons. What are we going to do with these criminals? Put them in old folks' homes? Put them back in society? That's a great, great problem solver there. AOC, and I'm going to paraphrase what she said, but she said basically that prisons are racist because the majority of prisons hold more minorities than they do white people. Well, there's a simple reason for that. The inner city creates an environment. And I get it. I'm not a big fan of, well, society brought me to this point, because you can rise above society. But inner city life is tough. And more, let's be honest, minorities live in inner cities. Minorities are creating and committing more crimes than any other faction of the races. It's not racist. It's just facts. And I know facts that you can't put facts out there now, because facts are mean. Facts are just hurtful and offensive. You just make up your own stuff. You know, if you're in the media, you don't have to have a source. An anonymous source said Donald Trump urinated on the Russian diplomat's bed or whoever's bed he urinated on. We don't need a source for that. We can just, in this day and age, make our own stories. AOC's making up stuff left and right. The whole Democrat Party, and let's be honest, the Republican Party is the same way. If you're a politician, you're doing it. You're making it up as you go. Whatever sounds the best, whatever sounds so good that the people listening are going to be like, oh, he's so right. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, because the majority of people around will not fact check you unless you're on Facebook and you're the only one side they're going to fact check. And that side is if you say something derogatory about the left or the president or COVID or vaccines, they're going to fact check you. But the left can spew out anything they want. You can say anything you want to make up about how great the COVID vaccines are. It's not going to get fact checked. You know, there's a media bias. There's a social media bias there. And nobody seems to, well, there are people that do see it. But there's nothing apparently we can do. But back to the radicalization of our friends and family. We need to turn that in. In a conversation with reporters. Now, one senior Biden administration official explained the importance of stopping politically fueled violence before it started. He said, "We will work to improve public awareness of federal resources to address concerning or threatening behavior before violence occurs." He went on to cite the Department of Homeland Security, "If you see something, say something" campaign to help stop radical Islamic terror as a domestic possibility. He then went on to say, and this is the scary part. Listen to this quote. "This involves creating contexts in which those who are family members or friends or coworkers know that there are pathways and avenues to raise concerns and seek help for those who they have perceived to be radicalizing and potentially radicalizing towards violence." Now, here is the key phrase in here. Listen to this part again. "That there are pathways and avenues to raise concerns and seek help for those who they have perceived to be radicalizing and potentially radicalizing towards violence. Again, for those who they have perceived." There needs to be no proof. There just needs to be you. "I feel that this person is radical." And who do you think is going to do that? Do you think someone on the right, a conservative, is going to turn in someone who they think is radicalized? I mean, if the guy is writing down a manifesto or going on Facebook and telling the world he's going to shoot somebody, that's different. But just because, and this opens the door to a whole slew of possibilities. People listening to this show that don't agree with me, they can turn me in for being radicalized. Your neighbor, let's say you borrowed something from your neighbor and you forgot to return it. You can become radicalized. And the big question is, what happens? Are you just visited by the feds? And they say, well, you're okay. You think that's going to happen? No. Nowhere does it say what is going to happen to those who have been deemed radicalized. That's in itself scary. But on top of that, the Biden administration, or the Democrats, said it would also work with large technology companies, scary two words there, on increased information sharing to help combat radicalization. The before mentioned official, he went on record as saying, any particular tech company often knows its own platform very well, but the government sees things, actually threats of violence across platforms. They see the relationship between online recruitment, radicalization, and violence in the physical world. So what do you think that means? Do you think right now, Facebook, Twitter, you think that they are obstructionists right now, that they're very one-sided and they only see one side of things? You think that way now? Wait. Wait until this gets to gain momentum. This is scary. And again, for those of you who can't see, take off the blinders. You are seeing right now, this country is on a direct path, and it is a speeding train right now going towards socialism. I said it earlier in the show, and I 150% believe it. History, the history books, because it's going to be long after I'm gone, that the history books are going to find me and you on the right side of history. We were right all along. I mean, honestly, when did it become so bad to become a patriot? You know, right now, you know how often I get called the paranormal Nazi? Because I have patriot in my name. And right now, the media and the Democratic Party have turned it around to where anybody that says they're a patriot is a Nazi. But if you look at what the Democrats are doing, it is a direct, I mean, it's like they're just reading the pages of Hitler's Mein Kampf. And you know, I'll almost give the younger generation a pass because they're not being taught any of what Hitler did in any of the schools, unless your kids go to a charter school. But usually if they go to a charter school, they come out with a head on their shoulders and they can think for themselves. But it's this older generation that just, listen, we were taught this. We know what Hitler did. We can see what he did to build power. And we can see what he did when he had power. And these older generations, my age, even a little bit younger than me, we were taught this. We can see that Hitler, or you can put any dictator whose country was a socialist country. We'll use Hitler for the example here. But he began his rise to power as the man of the people. He's the man to help us. He's helping us. He will do everything. The government is here for you. And as he built power, his power base grew. So now he was able to take guns away from the citizens. So who are the only ones with guns? Criminals in the military. So now the average citizen doesn't have a way to defend themselves because they, listening to Hitler, said, yes, take my guns, and then the book burning. And then the hunt for the Jews came. And lo and behold, what happened there? Neighbor turned on neighbor. Neighbors were turning in their neighbors because they were Jewish. And why were they doing it? Because the government told them to. The government told them to, and they wanted to be looked upon with great eyes upon by the government. They wanted to be looked at as a person of the country that will do anything for their government. That's scary. This is an exact, I mean, it is just verbatim. You could flip the page. You could look at Nazi Germany, and you could look at the United States right now at the same time as the rise into socialism, and it's identical. Identical. And look at how many people are just lock, stock, and barrel, will do anything the government says. Doesn't that scare you? These are our friends. These are our neighbors. These are our family members that they will have no problem turning you in as being radical. Because you don't agree with what they do. You have a different view than them, so therefore you are radical. They will turn you in. and not think twice about it, because they want to be looked upon with favor by the government. And they think by turning you in that that will happen. But look what happened. The country, when we go into socialism, it's inevitably going to fail. Inevitably. I never thought I'd see the day where I would really have to worry about socialism. I figured it would be 20, 30 years from now. Oh, God, no. No. We are on a crash course with it, and we are breaking land speed records to get there. And it's because the media. And again, look at Germany. Look at Venezuela. Look at North Korea. Look at Russia. Look at Vietnam. They had the media in their pocket telling the people lies. The government is here for you. And as Ronald Reagan said, that's the worst thing you can hear is we're from the government and we're here to help. That is the worst thing you could possibly hear, because the government is not here to help you. The government is only looking out for one person, and that's themselves. You know, as I say this, in a way I'm becoming terrified, because I think of what my children and your children are going to grow up in. And I'm going to tell you right now, to all my listeners, it is time to be very, very careful. You know, I know I've always been on this mic saying we need to stand up, we need to stand up, but never, ever did I ever think I would hear the federal government telling its people, keep an eye on your neighbors and let us know if they're radicalized. Because who is making the definition of a radical? Because right now, the Democrats are in control. So the definition of a radical is going to be white supremacist and conservative. And, lo and behold, Trump supporter. They will do this under the guise of protecting us from domestic terrorism. They're going to use white supremacy, because that is the thing now. White supremacy is not an issue. You may have little pockets of it here and there. You have bigger pockets of an issue with MS-13, with gangs in Chicago and New York and California, than you do with pockets of white supremacists. They are out there, yes, and they need to be dealt with. But there is a bigger problem in this country. And right now, that bigger problem is we are on the verge of losing our freedoms. And you can sit there and you can say, oh my gosh, Tom, you're overreacting. I quoted Biden officials. I didn't paraphrase. I didn't make up words. I didn't add words. I didn't take out words. The quotes I used were word for word from the Biden official. Honestly, that should scare the living daylights out of you, even you Democrats. Because I know the Democrats are out there thinking, it's not going to affect me. Woo-hoo, it's going to be a great country when we get rid of all these conservatives and these Trump supporters. Hear me now. It's only going to be a matter of time before they come for you. Because when they get rid of us conservatives, they're going to need people to work for them. They are going to give you jobs. And if you cannot do that job or you don't want to do that job, you're going to be considered expendable at that point. You're going into a prison, or they're just going to take you out. I mean, that's how this works. If you don't believe me, read up on the history of the countries that tried socialism, that are currently in socialism. The best example I can give you is the most current, and that's Venezuela. Very recently, one of the most prosperous countries in Latin America. Their oil put them there. And then they elected Chavez, who brought them into communism. Chavez died, and Maduro came on and just full-blown took them the rest of the way. So now the people are having rolling blackouts. They have no money. They have no jobs. They have no food. They're eating their dogs and cats for dinner. People are getting killed. If you're against the government, people go missing. In the middle of the night, people just go missing. And it's becoming the norm. And the people in the government and the media, they don't have a care in the world, because they're living high off the hog. Because they have all the money. They have all the power. if you're in the media and you continue to dole out the drivel that the governing party wants you to drivel out or put out, you're fine. You've got a good job for as long as it lasts. But eventually, it collapses. Because there's somebody out there that can't take it anymore. And in secret, he'll persuade more people and more people. And there will be an uprising. Look at Russia. Look at Vietnam. South Korea. North Korea. I can't believe North Korea is still a communist state. We are heading to that point. And it's very scary because this administration right now has literally done nothing for the American people. Prices across the board have skyrocketed. Fuel, gasoline has skyrocketed. Even though there are millions and millions and millions of job openings out there, unemployment is way, way too high for where it should be. They have no worries about our southern border. I just read an article that the border between Canada and the United States will be closed further until July 21st. I don't see many people rushing in, or as many people, I should say, rushing in through the Canadian border. Why are we concerned about that border? And I understand it's Canada and all that. They're worried about COVID and whatever. But this administration does nothing about our border. Texas is being inundated. Do you realize right now that at the current rate, 120,000 illegal immigrants are crossing the border every month? That's over 2 million illegal immigrants coming over in the first year of Biden's presidency. The first year. We are seeing numbers that we have never seen before. Texas is being inundated. So Texas now, Governor Abbott signed in a bill that says, look, we're going to build the wall. The federal government is not going to protect us. We're building the wall here. And good for them, because that's how it's supposed to work. That's how our government was designed to work. The states want to build a wall, you build a wall. Florida, Governor DeSantis is sending Florida officers down to the Texas border to help out, because he realizes that this is a national crisis. Regardless of whether Biden and Jen Psaki want to admit it, this is a crisis. This is a huge crisis. And again, we have people on the left that it's okay. People don't want to work. These people will work. Well, yes. Why do you think nobody wants to work? It's a simple formula. And I actually had one of my listeners get on my crap because I had the gall to say that these people didn't work because they're getting extra money. There's no jobs out there, according to him. I told him to look around. I don't care where you are in America. I guarantee you there are help wanted, now hiring signs everywhere. I can't go one business without seeing a now hiring sign. And this is in the little town of Owosso. I have restaurants that can't open or are open only 2-3 days a week because they don't have staff. They don't have staff to fill the position. So they can't run. They can't open. But let's keep giving them that money. Texas has got it right. The federal government isn't going to do the job. We're going to do the job. Now, you watch. The federal government is going to come in and fight this. And you're going to get some liberal judge, doesn't rule by the rule of law, because liberal judges don't rule by law. They rule by opinion and what they think the law should be. And they're going to say, nope, can't do it. But mark my words, this is how it's supposed to work. Governments are in charge, or states are in charge of themselves. They make their own laws. They make their own rules. If Texas wants to build a border wall, then God bless it, do it. Ooh, I'm running out of breath. Do it. More states need to take this approach. The federal government is not the end-all be-all. The federal government is like the overseer. You know, they're going to step in where they need to. And trust me, They are not stepping in where they need to right now. They need to be stepping in on the border. They refuse to. So what are they going to do? Texas is like, screw you. We're going to take care of it. And the federal government is going to have a cow. So be it. So before I end the show, I'm pretty excited. This past week, and if you're listening, Christina in Finland, I hope you get a kick out, as much of a kick out of this as I did reading the email. But I over the past couple weeks, I'm going to say months, I've been noticing, and I didn't know what was going on, but I've been noticing my Finland, out of all places, my Finland audience has been growing. It's growing quite a bit. And then 3 days ago, I received an email from a listener from Finland. Now, I'm not going to go over the whole email. I'm going to paraphrase it for the most part, but it starts off, "Hi, from Finland. I have listened to your show almost from day one. It is so interesting the way to see what is happening in the USA. Sometimes I don't agree with you, but mostly I do. It was so fun to listen about Trump and compare what they talk about him here. Finnish media found him as a joke, like the US media. Mostly only bad things to tell, and I just didn't get it. He wasn't at all that bad. Sometimes yes, but not when you look at the big picture and what he did. It seems like free speech and media isn't that free anymore." Oh, Christina, you have nailed it. "If you tried to say something positive about Trump, you were crazy or stupid, maybe both. No discussion at all. Frustrating." This woman is from Finland, and she understands it better than half of the Americans who live in this country and see it every day. She goes on, "And now, when Biden is chief, nothing. Just nothing about him in the media, very few news. Now when he's here visiting Europe, there's some news of him. Not once, haven't seen anything bad about him or his clear," and she puts in parentheses, "confusion attacks or slurry words while speaking. You just don't speak or write anything negative about him here. And about Trump, it was almost daily, like Trump is a devil and Biden is a savior. No bad words about our savior, never." Man, this woman gets it. "I first started listening to your podcast because of the paranormal, but then went interesting, or let me rephrase that, but then I was interested in the fields when you were talking about politics. I like it. And you have very good songs during your breaks for that too. I haven't got a COVID jab, even though I am quote unquote a high risk patient. When I listened to your COVID case, it made me think if I should take the shot anyway, but then I thought again and decided not to. Good call. Wish you all the best, and specifically for your wife, I really do hope she gets better. Bless you. Greetings from Finland, Christina." I was overjoyed beyond words to receive that email. First off, that's the first one I've ever received from Finland. So, Christina, thank you so much. It made my week. But again, this woman who does not live in the United States sees this. She sees things that half of the people in this country don't even see. She gets it. She may not agree with 100% of the things I say, but that's good. You know what that means? That means she's a free thinker. She can think for herself. I don't expect any one of my listeners to 100% agree with everything I say. It shouldn't be that way. If it is, check your thought pattern. Because you need to open your mind. That's why I keep saying open your mind. Be able to see a contradictory view. And embrace it if you have to. She gets it. Christina from Finland gets it. I wish more of us thought like her. It would be a better country. So Christina from Finland, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for the email. If anybody wants to contact me and make me feel as good as Christina did, or you could just tell me, "Tom, you're an idiot, you suck," you can contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, that's ghostseeker4@charter.net, or 1-989-607-4722. Leave me a message. Tell me what you think of the show. Tell me what you want to hear on the show. Man, that was a great email. All right, everybody. That will be the show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to get off my high horse now. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week. You
Cause you've been around, babe. You've been around for a while. I'm trying to wait.